It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. Hope you will enjoy the show with Carrie Luft, who is the head of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership and is at the forefront of major conservation efforts in the country, bringing about economic efficiency and program reforms. And Carrie, you've been kind to be on the air before, and I thought it would be great for us to catch up now, given that we've just seen the completion of the Farm Bill, and we've also seen the permanent reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, both of which you and your capacity as the lead of, as the head of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, had a role in. So thank you for joining us, Gary.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Charlie. Thank you.
So let's start off with the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Can you just give a brief sort of update as to why this was so important, what happened, and then a little bit of an insight as to how the private sector, if you will, and by the private sector I mean individuals with experience in government but no longer working for government, came up with a set of recommendations to hopefully make the Land and Water Conservation Fund better. So can you maybe just sort of take us through why we cared about this, why this was so important, and what maybe we hope some of the outcomes are?
Well, I thought we only had a half hour, Charlie. I could talk about why the Land and Water Conservation Fund is important for an hour and a half, probably, but I know you and your listeners don't want that. So let me go over it. The Land and Water Conservation Fund has been on the books for decades. What it does is it levies royalties against the oil and gas offshore exploration industry. And it is a means by which the federal government raises funds, hundreds of millions of dollars every year, for land and water conservation, to buy land, to protect land. Some of the money gets funneled down to the states for the same purpose. It is probably, and I'm pretty sure of this, correct me if I'm wrong, Charlie, it's the single largest conservation-only program we have. The problem with it, Charlie, is that over its history, it had to be continually reauthorized. And in a time where government is rightly looking at every expenditure, it became a big target for people to criticize or hold up as hostage and such. And at the end of the last Congress, the authorization for LWCF ran out. And so it wasn't there, and that's a scary proposition because, as you know well, once you lose something like that, it's awfully hard to get it back. Fortunately, enough legislators understood the value of the LWCF, and led by Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, an omnibus bill came through that permanently authorized LWCF. We're no longer going to have to jump through hoops every few years to reauthorize this vital, vital conservation fund. So if you're a hunter, if you're an angler, if you just like to hike in the great outdoors, if you like public lands, if you want to go camping in a state park, breathe a heavy sigh of relief that LWCF exists.
So the Land and Water Conservation Fund, funded by offshore tax royalties, is really the means for which states then carry, have the ability to build boat docks, bike trails, hiking trails, state work in state parks, all those things that provide outdoor recreation. Plus, I guess if a state has a need to acquire land, LWCF is there for that purpose as well.
That's why
people cared so much about it, even if the everyday individual like you and me and those listening have never heard of this thing, because the states take the credit for this when the funds are spent. That's why this is the economic engine behind, frankly, outdoors?
I think that's fair to say, Charlie. You know, there are other funds out there that are, of course, very important, the Federal Duck Stamp Fund being one that's near and dear to our hearts, the conservation title of the Farm Bill, which we'll talk about a little later. But LWCF is a huge, huge deal. We're not done yet with LWCF, Charlie, as you alluded to. About almost 4 years ago now, the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership assembled some of the leading, most distinguished conservation executives in the country, people who had worked in government for most of their lives, led state agencies, worked at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, worked in Washington, worked in various levels of state wildlife agencies, and asked them to come up with a series of recommendations for LWCF. And a lot of those are still out there. One was certainly to reauthorize it permanently, because that's a battle we don't need to keep having. But ironically, Charlie, as popular and as good as this program has been, it has never been funded at the full authorized level. It's twice, I take it back. The cap on funding LWCF is $900 million. In recent years, it's been more like $350 a year. So there's $500 million out there that could be funneled into LWCF if Congress would give the green light to it. It wouldn't cost taxpayers anything because, as we said, it comes out of offshore tax, offshore drilling royalties. And it would be, imagine the power, if it's spent efficiently and wisely, of another $1 billion for conservation, land and water recreation. It would just be huge.
We're visiting with Carrie Luft, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. And Carrie, we're talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Can you take, before we go to a break, and you've done a very good job in just a few minutes describing what could take several days, can you just quickly say what are the high points at which we're looking for economic efficiency? I know that LWCF has been widely criticized as being just a pork barrel boondoggle, you know, a way for senators and congressmen to get money for their districts. The working group that you organized and helped lead came up with a set of recommendations. Can you just highlight what one or two of the things that are most important to the American taxpayer, if those reforms took place, how they would make this, really advance this as a well-run operation?
Charlie, I am all about transparency and accountability. As you well know from many conversations about government-funded conservation programs, and too often we throw the money at the problem and we don't ask the question, how is it being spent? One of the recommendations that our team put together for LWCF is to enact a commission that has oversight on how the money is spent, to grade and rank projects, and to basically be sort of a watchdog for the expenditure of hundreds of millions of dollars. It would not be a big ask. It would not be a full-time boondoggle for anybody, but it would bring a lot of responsiveness and accountability to the expenditure of these funds. And I think that's a crying need.
And it would be great if you chaired that commission.
I do have a boss, and he keeps me busy as it is, Charlie. I don't know what I can do.
Letting people know how the money is being spent was one of the big items in calling for the reforms of land and water conservation under this reauthorization. But also, what about opening it up to be having other parties be able to apply for these grants other than just entrenched federal and state agencies, rather?
Well, you raise a good point, Charlie. You know, at one point, when a lot of the conservation legislation that we have all benefited from came on the books, there were no NGOs that were capable of delivering services. That's changed. And I think that it's certainly time to see if the private sector can bring some more efficiencies to the delivery of conservation, even if it's using government funds. And I think a competitive system for this kind of funding is nothing but a good thing, especially if you have the oversight that demands accountability and transparency. You know, wouldn't it be a nice thing, Charlie, if the American taxpayer with just a few keystrokes on the internet, could see where his conservation dollars are being spent. And I'm not just talking about LWCF. I'm talking about duck stamps. I'm talking about license fees. Transparency is a great thing.
I'm laughing because, yes, it would be a very nice thing, and it would be equally nice to push a button on your computer here in Illinois and see that we did not have billions of dollars in pension deficits, and that we also in Illinois could see where our tax monies would be spent. Kerry, you've got a lot of work to do. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd love to talk to you about the Farm Bill and a couple things that are in it that could be transformative over the long haul, and under the sort of the motto of you've got to start somewhere. And you have been helpful again through the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership in actually kickstarting a couple of pretty cool ideas, which ended up in the Farm Bill, which not only those of you in agriculture listening this morning would like to know about, I think, but also the rest of us will find quite heartening. We're visiting with Kerry Luft, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, and I will be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors of Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. We're visiting with Kerry Luft, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership and an individual who is working hard to bring about economic efficiency and conservation across America. So, Kerry, you are my go-to guy when we start talking about government programs and how we can make them better. And thank you for being with me this morning. And I know you've organized really impressive teams of people to work on ideas for how the government can spend our money better. And you're not tilting at windmills, because you just described at the outset here of the show some of the actions which the team members that you've pulled together that have recommended are actually taking form in big-ticket items the federal government spends money on for conservation. You're working alone in this field, and that, as far as I know, there's no one else in the country doing the kind of work that you're doing at the center. But let me ask you, the new Farm Bill came out, signed, lots of people are happy, and I heard that you're pretty happy too, and yeah, that you had organized a working group to come up with some novel ideas. You want to just take a moment to let not only all those in agriculture listening across the Midwest this morning know what took place sure, with an idea, but those of us who love to hunt and fish, why this is good for us.
Yeah, well, thanks, Charlie. I mean, let me explain just real briefly how the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership works. We like to bring smart people together who might not necessarily have an avenue to talk to each other and let them work together to suggest solutions that are more economically efficient and deliver better results on the ground for conservation. That, in a nutshell, is what we do. And our team that looked at the Farm Bill wanted to look at new and novel ways to promote conservation in agriculture. The big Megillah in the Farm Bill's conservation title is called the Conservation Reserve Program. And over the years, that has set aside tens of millions of acres in farmland that otherwise would be plowed up. And this protects very fragile lands from erosion and mitigates nitrogen runoff into our waters. And for those of us who like to hunt and fish, coincidentally, it also creates great habitat for game birds. The pheasant explosion that you and I enjoyed in the 1990s and the early part of the 2000s was largely on the back of CRP. And our friends at Pheasants Forever and some other conservation organizations, Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, do a great job in promoting CRP. So we tried to look somewhere else. And Charlie, one of the flaws from the farmer's perspective in CRP is that it's a 10-year investment in taking some of his or her land out of production. And so one of our recommendations that emerged from our task force on the Farm Bill was to create shorter-term conservation programs. And I'm happy to say that one of our members of the task force, Lynn Churchman, went back to Senator John Thune of South Dakota with an idea that hatched here at McGraw, and it evolved into what's called the Soil Health and Income Protection Program. It's a pilot program of 50,000 acres in the Prairie Pothole States, that's South Dakotas, Montana, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and it's a short-term easement program that's far more flexible and business-friendly to agriculture and has a lot more and has a great deal of accountability, another watchword for us. Congress has to get reports on the efficiency of this program and how the money has been spent. It's the only completely new program in the Farm Bill. I think it'll pay off handsomely for wildlife habitat. I think it'll pay off quite well for nitrogen runoff. And very important here, Charlie, this is something we too often forget as outdoors people. It's good for the farmer, too. Private land conservation is where it's at. The government cannot and probably should not own enough land to effectively deliver to the conservation measures we need in this country. It has to work for the private landowner, and that has to be a flexible program that allows the the landowner to benefit from the ownership of the land. You can't expect people to do it just because it's a good idea.
So one of the criticisms of the Conservation Reserve Program is it's not permanent. And you have heard the former head of the refuges in the Midwest region of the country, Bill Hartwig, talk about if it's not permanent, it's not protected. And we've seen well over 10 million acres of Conservation Reserve programs come out of being protected and being farmed again. How do you respond to that comment that this is great, but 10 years from now, or in this case, 3 or 5 years from now, after the money's been paid, commodity prices are good, the landowner can say, well, I really believe in conservation, but I can make more money farming, so I'm taking it out and going to farm it. How do we respond to that criticism of non-permanent protection?
Well, I think CRP has to be looked at a little differently than, say, a state park or a federal wildlife refuge, Charlie. These grounds are evolving, and if you put a piece of land into set aside for 10 years and you leave it alone, the habitat benefits go away starting around in the eighth year. So it's not all bad for some of this to rotate in and out of conservation, or at least be manipulated for better conservation benefits over time. For me, what I wish we would see is that we wouldn't have to battle over how many acres can be put into conservation reserve every few years. This year, the number went up slightly. That's great. We did really well back in the 1990s, and that's why Iowa suddenly became the number one pheasant state in the union. I would like to see CRP established at higher levels, of course, and I would like to see some ways that we don't continually keep having to battle for its survival.
Well, I think what you just said is ultimately, and whether you're a farmer in Iowa listening this morning or a sportsman in Iowa or Illinois, wherever you might be, the benefits go far beyond just the grass.
Right.
And if we can move this dialogue to one of CRP is really about reducing nitrogen loads and soil erosion and cleaning up our water, we can change this entire discussion. And I think that the coming issue is going to be nitrogen. You've talked about this on the air before. Others have. And CRP is going to be a way to reduce this. So maybe, Kerry, without going too deep into the weeds, what we're really talking about is ultimately the branding of a program, which maybe needs some redirection for people to understand its multi-societal benefits.
And I would add one more thing, because, you know, McGraw is also ultimately about outdoor, you know, hunting and fishing. We're very big supporters of that practice. I think too often our conservation groups look only at what's in it for them. We want more game birds. We want more fish. We want more. Well, that's true, but as the years pass, we're going to have more and more success if we look at those things as happy coincidences that are produced by good conservation that protect everyone.
Oh, well, and you're getting into the rice bowl. You're getting into the rice bowl discussion, and we don't have time this morning for that.
A couple more weeks.
Kerry, I thank you for joining us. You really are an enlightening individual, for me at least, on the host of issues you're working on. And for those of you listening, the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, which Kerry Luft is the director of, is the group doing economic efficiency work for the betterment of conservation and agriculture. And Kerry, thank you for being with us this morning. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors as we wind our way through March and there's hopes of spring and all the things that come with it. Thanks for being with me this morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.